And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to a special end-of-the-year holiday show, an extra-long show. My guest is DJ Barbeau.
Hello.
Do you usually go by Barbeau or
just
DJ Barbeau? Barbeau?
Whatever. DJ Barbeau, Barbeau. Just, as long as it's not Adrian Barbeau.
Right, but that's your name is Adrian.
My name is Adrian, but it's not. But it's not Adrian Barbeau. Barbeau is just my stage name. My stage name, exactly.
Thank you for the DJ set.
Thank you for having me.
That was great.
It was fun.
I noticed there was this definite sort of 70s theme to it that mm-hmm. you don't hear when someone says they're going to do a DJ set for you. But you weren't just literally playing 70s music. It was more thematic. Tell me about that.
It's just, I don't know, there's like this whole new, it's not a new genre of music, but it's like this influx of this, of like 70s influenced disco, I guess. I mean, it's disco, but it's usually kept in the house section. But you know, it's great. I mean, it's going back to, you know, a very musical feeling that music has kind of lost a little bit, you know, and it's very live. A lot of it's live played, you know, with computers as well. And I love it, you know, it's perfect for a day thing, a day set, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now that last song we were just listening to, that was a remix that you did.
That was a remix that I did for Thrill Kill Boy, Magic Girl. Yeah.
And you toured with them.
We did. Dirty Sanchez toured with Thrill Kill Cult on the East Coast, and crazy, crazy times. It was in the middle of winter. Like, we had to drive through snowstorms. I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, we were playing these clubs where it was just full of goth kids and black metal kids, you know. And, you know, we'd get up on stage with our costumes and their jaws would just hit the floor. Like, they didn't even know what the hell they were looking at, you know. But, you know, halfway through it, they're all big smiles and, you know, just loving it.
Do you feel with an act like Dirty Sanchez that's so it's a very high concept, that you kind of have to pull your audience in, give them, you know, they have to earn your trust before they dive into...
I don't know, it's kind of weird just because you feel like it has to be that way, but it's really not. I mean, at first they're kind of just taken aback just because they're not sure what you are. But then a couple songs into it, they're dancing and smiling and having a good time. So I think, you know, just having fun just kind of transcends, you know, and it's good, you know, and it's, I don't know, it works.
If you don't mind, can we talk a little bit about the business side of being an electronic musician?
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I suspect it might be slightly different than just being in a rock band or something like that in terms of, you know, getting together with a label, having them contribute or limit your creative freedom, maybe the direction that you take your group, those kind of things.
Well, you know, it's weird because once you actually sign to a label, it's not that it isn't fun anymore. But it takes on a whole life of its own. You know, you have all these things you have to worry about, like money. You know, it's like money and lawyers and all these things that aren't musical, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, and so you have to just, like, you have to bring this whole other sense into it where, you know, you're, like, having to worry about, like, it's essentially just like starting a business, you know. I mean, like, Dirty Sanchez is now a company, you know. I mean, like, we had to, like, go and, you know, have our lawyers just do all this crazy stuff for us. And you know, it's like, it's kind of weird just because you have to, you know, you're out there having fun, but also, you know, you're having to put money into the bank because, you know, it has to pay for everything, you know? And so there's a whole business aspect to, you know, being a professional musician, you know, and it's, you know, it's kind of ugly, but you have to do it. Otherwise, you know, I mean,
do you worry about that when you sit down to produce a new song, either for your own use or for Dirty Sanchez or the Octavius project? Do you put a lot of thought into how the song is going to sound so that it becomes a hit, so that you make your money back?
No, you know, not really. I don't know. Like, I think you just kind of do what you do and you hope that people are going to like it. And if it's a hit, it's a hit. If it's not, well, it's not.
Do you feel the pressure to be more commercial or anything like that? I mean, because I know it happens to rock musicians all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily pressure. I think that you just want to be successful in what you do, you know, and sometimes, you know, being a little bit more commercial or more mainstream, you sort of, you know, you have to go in that direction if you want to be more successful, you know, but it just kind of depends on what you want out of your music or your project, you know. I mean, I would really like Dirty Sanchez to be a lot more successful and more commercial as well, you know, but I don't want it to be, you know, pop fluff, you know. Mm-hmm. But
so it still has to be fun for you to keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It has to be. It has to be sort of like a little bit of both. You know, it has to be like it has to have enough of myself and the other members in it in order for it to really be something that we're gonna want to continue to do. You know, I mean, when it gets to the point, I think where our actions are being dictated by a label, then we probably won't do it any longer. You know, and you know, fortunately enough, our label hasn't really done that to us. They've pretty much let us do whatever we want, except for one song when we did the Prince cover. They were in a lawsuit with Prince, so and we were getting kind of tricky about one of the songs we did, and we ended up doing You Got the Look, and then we threw a little bit of Computer Blues in there. And we ended up having to change that song like 4 times.
Wow.
Just because they didn't want any reference to any other song in it. And, you know, we changed it so much that there was no way that it was even a Computer Blues reference anymore, but it still wouldn't fly.
So it just became like a tiresome project after a while.
We ended up spending so much money just re-recording that track, you know? And what's really funny is that, like, they actually put out the very first pressing of that electronic tribute to Prince had the original song that we recorded with the Computer Blues sample.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's some, you know, copies still floating around out there that actually have the original version before we recorded it like 30 million times.
I guess it just had to make its way out there somehow.
I don't know, like, what happened. I don't know if they just kind of sent out a bunch of copies just to sort of like get distributors to pick up the compilation, and then they ended up they're out there, you know. So
well, where can people see you DJ next?
I'm gonna be doing New Year's at the Dragonfly with the Spasmatics. I'm doing, was it January 5th at, is that right?
Yeah
January 5th at Training Bra in Long Beach, K-Sara. And I'm going to be starting a new residency every Friday nights at the Spider Club starting the end of January.
Cool.
And you'll be able to hear pretty much stuff that you heard today and some of the other more clubby stuff.
So is that residency is going to be kind of a, it's going to be a reflection of you. It's going to be the Barbo residency.
Yes.
As opposed to just some hired DJ. Like, you're going to really be able to express yourself as a DJ up there.
That's going
to
be all me pretty much.
So yeah. That's got to be great because
I'm excited because I haven't really had a residency in a while. I mean, I was doing Miss Kitty's for like 4 years at the Dragonfly, and it was every Friday, and then I stopped doing that because I just kind of got burnt out, you know. But you know, I feel sort of responsible for, you know, kind of changing the goth scene here in LA a little bit, you know, from being so dark to being a lot more open.
Right. Dark can be beautiful too. It doesn't need to just be depressing.
Dark. I love dark. I mean, I'm a total closet goth, you know. I was goth when I was growing up and stuff, but you know, they're a lot more open now to all kinds of different music, you know.
Yeah.
So
no, what I meant is that sometimes it seems like people really into goth think that it always has to be like really subdued and really unhappy.
Oh yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But there is sort of a pretty darkness side to it, you know.
Yeah, like, totally. I love goths. They're cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, best of luck with your upcoming gigs. 2007 is going to be a stellar year, I'm sure. So
I'm excited.
And thanks again for coming in, spending some time with us on Is Good and the lovely DJ set. This will be made available from isgoodmusic.com later today. So we'll be back in 07. I already have lots of guests lined up. I believe on the 4th, I have Countless Thousands is coming in at the usual 11 o'clock hour, and then I'm doing a follow-up with AM at 1 o'clock, so that'll be a nice day of his good music. You've been listening to KillRadio.org. Happy New Year.